Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Right Now. I'm your host, Stacey Chadwell, coming to you live from Las Vegas.
Joining me tonight is Judy Krings, a unique human, passionately persuasive, positive psychologist, and personal professional coach. She empowers you to explore, discover, and have fun maximizing your strengths to evolve and problem solve. Your well-being and best self life awaits. You can join her at coachingpositivity.com, and she has a new book called My Traveling with the Turbocharged Strength Spotting Book, launching in mid-2011. The book's title is Photo Adventures in Cuba, Unlock Your Power of Positivity. Thank you so much for joining us tonight, Judy.
My pleasure, Stacey. I'm tickled to be able to talk with you again. We go way back, so they say.
We definitely do. So share with us today, what inspires you to write?
Well, what inspired me to write this book was that I had no idea I was going to write a book. I was blogging about my trip to Cuba. And in the book, I talk about why I went to Cuba, because Americans can't go to Cuba, you know. So I'm a Mexican citizen. I work from Puerto Vallarta, lucky me, in the wintertime. And several people were reading some blogs and said, you need to write a book about this. And I had a couple other professional people I work with, and they said, absolutely, this is book worthy. So out of nowhere, I did everything backwards. I went on a roller coaster writing backwards. So I learned about well-being and flourishing from the back car of the roller coaster, facing backwards anyway. But that's when the learning began. So I guess as I just realized I wanted to have a tribute for my mom, who's 92. And so I decided to write a book about the 24 signature strengths from the VIA evaluation that coaches use. And so I told a little two-page vignette story and hooked that up with, I think it's about 135 colored photos, and some are a little naughty and a little ornery, Delaware ornery, mischievous. I'm from Delaware. And that's how the book happened. I didn't plan it.
Excellent. Well, how does your writing inspire others? As I know you have, you write for, like you said, your blog. How does it inspire others?
I do. I write two or three times a week on the coachingpositivity.com site. What I do something that's a little bit unusual, I think. As a positive psychologist who coaches well-being and flourishing, I do everything fun. I'm a very serious person, and I love to have fun, and I don't have enough of it. So I do a blog based on experiences I have during the week or have had recently on the 24 signature strengths. And there's always a question or a little naughty comment at the end for you to ask yourself. When I say naughty, I mean fun, frivolous fun play that I ask you to ask yourself. So it might be just two or three paragraphs. It's very short. But it's always about positivity, using how to use your strengths, like curiosity, capacity to love, confidence, industry, diligence, teamwork. But they're always fun. There's no serious business. And I don't know any other coach that does that.
I love that. I really do. Hey. So when and why did you begin to write?
Well, gosh sakes, let's see. I was in private practice for 33 years as a clinical psychologist, and nobody did a column for the newspaper, so the newspaper asked me to write a column, so I did, and then I wrote many, many columns, Ask the Doctor, Teenage Advice column, and then I did a lot of radio, so I wrote scripts for radio. Then I did a TV show that I formulated, so I wrote the scripts for that. And then the biggie, masochistic task that I chose to do, is that a big one? I did a nationally syndicated radio show, and I was supposed to have producers writing for me, and when I got into Chicago, 3.5 hours away from here, they weren't available after the contract had been signed. So I wrote all my own script. So I interviewed people like Tom Rath, Vital Friends, and all the book that he's written on strengths, and people that wrote books on bullies and a lot of other psychological concerns. So I kind of didn't plan ever to be a writer. As a matter of fact, when I was in college, my first English teacher looked down at me and he said, too bad. I know you have writers in your family, and it's too bad you didn't get that gene. So I never thought, yeah, and he was a distant relative, he told me later, and it just devastated me. So I wasn't a great writer. I'm probably still not, but I have fun when I write. I write with metaphors, and I want people to have enjoyment and fulfillment and look at life. I am very practical, common sense, down to earth. There are a million people that are geniuses in the academic world. I'm not, but I am experiential, and I just want people to look at life and lighten up. And you and I have talked previously on the fact that we are both people that like to deliver. We are very responsible. So when I write, I get to express a different fun side of me.
Which
I want people to, I want people to know that they can just read something and know that they're going to have fun with it.
It's true. And every time you've been on my show, you've been, or on the Coach Exchange Radio, which is now Experts Insights, you were great. She's a fantastic.
Oh, thanks.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, and you always make it fun, so I really enjoy having you. How do you define writing success?
I think writing success is when you can kick back, feel good about it when you read it, take a pause, relax, take a smile, and it still amazes me. When I got an email, most of us that write a little bit have readers that like what we do, and they give us feedback. And I just told somebody this morning, a fellow coach, how much I appreciate. She sends me a note after virtually every blog, and that's two or three a week I do. And I take photographs in my life. Every blog I do has a photograph. I shouldn't say every, 99% are a photograph I've taken. So they're pictures of something I've done, or are pictures of mom, pictures of flowers, pictures of beauty, art and excellence, and appreciation of beauty is my top strength. So I like beautiful things. So I take pictures of them and put them on the blog and write a story about them. So when people say, oh, this made my day this morning, I was feeling so bad about blah, blah, and you just wrote about it. Thank you. How much better does it get than that?
I can't imagine.
Paying
it forward. So good.
Yeah.
So what is your most powerful writing moment?
My most powerful writing moment, believe it or not, is when I write something about my mother. Mom has been in assisted living almost 2 years. I just moved her. Actually, last week I got back from Delaware from 10 days, moving her into a private home. She thinks she has died and gone to heaven. She's got five animals, five dogs, three parrots, 3 acres, rose bushes. These are friends of mine that resigned their jobs, and their job now is to take care of mom for the rest of her life. And writing about her and appreciating her and knowing, you know, I'm in my early 60s, knowing my age, I still have a mother who is alive and vibrant. When I write about her, I know how lucky I am, how fortunate I am to have had a mom who never judged me, who just said, here's what she said about the book. I gave it to her for Mother's Day, and she looked at it, and she just, I knew what she would say, because this is my mom, not like me, very quiet, very understated, and she said something. I blogged about it, but I can't remember the exact. She said, this is really nice. And I'm thinking, a year's work, and it's really nice, you know, but I cracked up laughing. A year's work, I'm pulling my hair out here, you know, but that's my mom. But then she thumbed through it and looked at the preface, which talked about the only vacation my parents ever had. Think about this. In their whole life was 2 days in Cuba. So since I was 4 years old, I wanted to go to Cuba. And it took me until last April to go. So this book was for her, to show her the pictures, what she and Daddy remembered back in the 50s. And it doesn't. So my mom has been my greatest inspiration for everything in my life, including my writing. And she just said, Judy, there's nothing you can't do. She's a woman of little words, few words. But when she said something, they're naively, totally authentic. Judy, there's nothing you can't do. You just amaze me. Where do you get this from? You know, and she laughs. Wow. That's it for me.
So your book is truly a labor of love.
Oh, totally. I would have never done this if it weren't for my mom, and I knew that she would love the, nobody does a color picture book. Everybody says you are crazy. They're too expensive to make. They are. It is expensive. It's going to be $10 off though. It's a big discount on my site. Actually, by the time this airs later on, that may not be there, but it might still be there. I don't know. Maybe I'll just keep it on there, a discount. But it's a beautiful glossy covered book, and Dr. Martin Seligman, the number one positive psychologist, as well as Vicki Winterton of TCE, wrote beautiful kudos for it. So I'm just very, very grateful.
What are the three most important personal tips you could share for achievement and fulfillment through writing?
Okay, don't do it how I did it. That's number one. Okay, so I'm gonna talk fast, but I'm gonna hope everybody's listening. Don't do it backwards. Do not do it backwards. Number one, make, please do this. I didn't. Please do it. Create a, and this is from nobody but me. I thought about it at 3 o'clock this morning. Create a book writing mission statement based on your business or your personal mission statement. Like, Stacy, do you have a mission statement yourself or for your business?
Pretty much, yes.
Mm-hmm. Pretty much? Okay. Do you know what it is, or do you want me to just read mine?
Just read yours.
Okay, I'll make it easy. I'm talking about putting the host on the spot. Yikes! Okay, my short mission statement is, I help coaches and clients ignite their strengths to evolve to live their best self life. So what's your book going to be about? And you say, so look at your mission statement, what you want to accomplish in your life if you're not working, or in your business, or both if you are. Then mind map it. You say, what is the mind map? Maybe some people don't know what that is. I'll make it easy for you. This is so fun. Draw a great big daisy. Put a big middle in it, and then put me and my book, or just book. So the middle of the daisy is a circle, and it's book. Then draw 5 or more petals on the outside of it. Then you're going to do who, what, why, and so forth. So here we're going to go. What? What do you want to say? What do you want to say in your book? What do you want to deliver? I wanted to teach people about strengths and strengths constellations. What are those and how to spot strengths? And I can talk about that in a few minutes. But what do you want to say? Then who do you want to say it to? Who's your niche, your niche? Who do you want to say it to? And then why are you doing this? Like you said, you asked me the question. It was a great one. What was your passion for this? It was to write a book for my mom so she would have a legacy. But maybe it's for career or advancement, or maybe you just want to write a book for fun. And I'm gonna say something. This is only my opinion. Only my opinion. But these web people, I know they mean well, but these people that say, for $300 or $400, learn how to write a book in 2 short sessions. Well, I don't know what you call a book. I mean, I'm looking at one that's half an inch thick here that's, 130 pages or whatever it is. That's a book. I'm going to have a PDF as well as e-reader as well as a print book. Maybe you just want a PDF, and maybe you want it to be 10 pages. That's an e-book. You could get that done in a weekend. It just depends on what kind of book you want. If you want a substantial book that's been edited, please don't think you can do it in a weekend or I'm going to, cry for you. Okay, so we've done who, what, why. Now we're going to do where. Where do you want to use this book? Where do you want this book to go? Where is it headed? And not just Amazon, though we all like Amazon, don't we? All right, or Borders and so forth. And then when? What's your time frame? When do you want to get this done by? What's your limit? So you may add some more petals. But if you do the who, what, why, where, when in a mind map, it's going to help you know where you're going to go. It's going to help you get where you want to go. And then the third one is kind of a little outline to help yourself, okay? To help yourself before you start doing anything with your writing. These are just little exercises. Pause and scan. So if you're sitting here listening, just take a moment and look around. I've got a Snoopy big long T-shirt on, okay? So that'll make you laugh with Woodstock, and they're laughing. But look around the room. What do you see? What do you scan? What do you observe? Then ask yourself, what's going on with all your senses? Do you taste anything? You've got a cup of coffee. Do you smell a beautiful candle? Do you see a view? But use all your senses. Are you touching something? Another tidbit, this is more than three, Stacy, but is take a notebook with you or a little tiny notepad or an audio recorder. It doesn't make any difference. Do it on your telephone and jot yourself notes or write them down. I never leave anywhere without my camera because, again, I take photos of everything and I send them all to my mom. She gets photos virtually every day. But take pictures of things that might inspire you later on. And don't strive for perfectionism. Forget it. Just lasso the best that you can do, having fun flow. And then just breathe. Today was a day that I needed to breathe. Before the call, Stacy, help me breathe. You know, when life gives you lemons, it is good to make lemonade, but it's also good to talk to a girlfriend or somebody if you get stuck, okay? So if you get stuck, turn up your curiosity knob. Be curious. Step away. Turn up your curiosity knob, and you know what happens? It turns down your anxiety knob.
That's so true. I love it.
No, I was just saying another one, that I have a calendar on my calendar, and I bought this calendar on purpose. You know, you get like five free ones in the mail, but you don't like any of them, so you have to go buy one. Well,
right.
Mine is, life is all about how you handle plan B. Life is all about how you handle plan B. And I had a mix-up in the time today for the radio show. Stacy was such a gentle woman and so kind about it. And I was like literally, you know, having the heebie-jeebies. And I looked at my calendar and I laughed. You know, life is about how you handle plan B. And sometimes you have to have rain before you have rainbows.
But Judy was 2 hours early, 4 hours early. So she was ahead of schedule, not behind. She was perfectly on time.
Thank God.
Tell me how these three things that you just, or four things you just told us, work for you.
Well, I think I'm a very sensory person. I'm also a person who needs to write right away. I know a lot of people get writer's block. I helped someone down in Puerto Vallarta that was not able to write for 6 months. And I used one of the skills that I used on myself with her. She had total writer's block. I mean, she hadn't written one single word. And I said to her, I started chatting like we weren't even coaching. I said, well, let's just pause and let's put the coaching on the back burner for a minute. She said, oh, good, because I'm a little stressed. I said, okay. I said, can you just tell me, I almost said her name, can you just tell me a time that you were at your very best? When your strengths were working, a time that you were just like just cranking out those words and you were energized and empowered and engaged and the world was looking great. And she said, oh, yeah. And she went, blah, 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 blah. And I said, what strengths were you using then? And she rattled off a few. And all of a sudden something hit her. And I said, where are those strengths right now? And she looked at me and she said, I'm not using them. I said, what do you think would happen if you started using just one of them? She said, oh, my gosh, I forgot my coaching. I forgot you do one little teeny thing. I said, oh, you mean like get out a colored pencil or a painter? She's also an artist. Or a paintbrush? She said, oh, my gosh, that's all I need to do. So I said, okay, will you do me a favor? Will you just email me when you do one word? She said, no, I can't do that. I said, you can't? She said, no, I need to do it, give you a sentence. And you know what I'm going to tell you. She emailed me this long verse, and away she went, and she has not stopped since. True story.
That's wonderful. I love how you took down her defenses by saying, we're not going to be coaching right now. I do that too. I love that because it works. Then I would like to know, what are your favorite writing tools since you just brought that up?
Okay, now, my favorite writing tools, you have to realize that beginning of my bio when you said uniquely human, passionately persuasive, that I'm not your everyday coach. My favorite writing tools are, you're going to crack up laughing, I've got a Goonie bird on a stick that's in my colored pencil holders. I have a pencil holder for my black pens, a pencil holder for colored pens, a pencil holder holder for my magic markers. I'm looking at my mug that says, it's all good. Now, there are days when I want to write the words BS on the bottom of that, or I want to write, you've got to be kidding, or I want to write, you know, blank, blank, blank. And I laugh. So when it's all good, I see that mug and I remind myself, wait a minute, you're taking yourself too seriously right now. Calm down. If it's not coming right now, get up. Get up and walk away. And my last great writing tool are two things. It's a picture of a tree frog that is absolutely beautiful in green, purple, orange, and blues. And under that is my handy-dandy blue dragon. Now, I've never named her. And here is the most bizarre thing you may ever have heard. I have a symbol. It's a star, and then it has a squiggly round, you know, coming out of the bottom of it. I never saw this when I bought this, never. And the dragon is my inner critic. When I get too hard on myself or I'm punishing myself, I look at the dragon. It's cute. It's not ugly. And I remind myself, you know, hey, listen, everybody deserves to be gentle with themselves. It's a stuffed animal. But on the bottom of his or her foot pad is a star with a swirly going down it, exactly like the symbol I created probably 10 years ago. Yeah, and one time a client sent me a big bouquet of flowers, and that exact symbol was in the stake, you know, a decorative stake in the flowers. I couldn't believe it.
How about that?
So my writing tools, because my top strength, again, is beauty and art and appreciating that, I need beautiful things around me to write. And I also need to clear my desk a little bit because I tend to be a slob. I work, oh, my gosh, I've got stuff spread out all over creation. So I try to get that. Shut up, Stacey. I try to get
the creative.
Yeah, it is. I tried it before I came on with you today. I did a half-budded, you know, reorganization. Like I've got my pretty and pink tips for my website. If you join that, I put that out to make me happy. When you sign up to buy the book, you get a Improving Relationships short e-book on 7 psychology strategies and so forth. So I put those out to make me smile.
I like that.
What's yours, Stacey? What do you have when you write?
Oh, good grief. I like to sit. You know, honestly, I'm very happy if I have morning free. I get up before the kids do, and I'm sitting there with my coffee at the kitchen table with a pencil. And I just, I just get inspired. And when I get inspired, I just write and write and write and write.
So you're, and then you're like, if the mood hits you, you want a pencil or pen right there.
Yes. Yeah. And I'll go until it's done. You can get a recorder, say it in the vet, and then have somebody transcribe it for you. Because what matters is getting your voice out there in some way.
That's right. And learning how to use your voice. I had a lady hang up on me the other day for an important call because she thought I was a telemarketer, and because of my voice. So that was really funny. I cracked up. I told her, well, I used to do radio every day, and she laughed, you know. But, you know, Stacey, I promised a few minutes ago, and, you know, when you're on radio, you always want to deliver your promises, to tell you a little bit about strength spotting and what strength constellations are. Are you interested in that?
I would love to know more about that, please.
Okay. Strength spotting is, some people have a natural bend at this. Some people who are intuitive or very have good perspective skills, wisdom skills, just are naturals at it. I mean, I think I was just kind of blessed with that ability. But you can play with ideas and learn how to do it. It's that you get a real buzz from seeing yourself using strengths, or even more so by identifying strengths in other people. In my book, I list all the 24 strengths, and again, write a two-page little fun vignette about them. But everybody has different strengths, and you can find out your strengths by taking the Values in Action, the VIA free survey, the VIA survey, and you can find that just by Googling it on the internet, VIA character. .org, and there are other places to take it to, viacharacter.org. It's free. And you'll see what your 24 strengths are, and then you can learn how to use those strengths to help you be the person that you want to be. Some of them are fairness, forgiveness, modesty, bravery, honesty, zest, curiosity, creativity. There's all 24 of them. So it's how you can stop when you're stuck writing or anything else and say, this morning when I was upset with myself because I got the time wrong, I got out my 24 signature strengths and I looked at them. And I keep them out right on my desk. And so I reminded myself, hey, you know, you're not perfect. Stacey's a good person. You know, she's able to forgive you. That's a strength. You know, you have a good capacity to love and be loved, Judy, so it's time for you to love yourself, which isn't always the easiest thing to do. Be grateful that you didn't miss it. You know, so I just went down my strengths list and all of a sudden realized, wait a minute, I'm enthusiastic, I'm zestful, there's good things about me, just, you know, shake it off, shake it off. So if you get stuck mm-hmm. writing, you know, go to your strengths and look at them. So spot your strengths and then ask yourself, how can I use this one today? And the top 5 or 10 are most important, but all 24 are weighed the same. So 24 is just as good as 1, it's just that you don't use it as much. So it's how to get a deep sense of fulfillment from seeing people use their strengths. And again, I just labeled what some of them are. And strengths constellations are really, really fun. Dr. Robert Biswas-Diener taught me a lot about this in his classes. I think of strengths as like a colored chain link. Remember when you were in kindergarten or first grade and you got to cut out links and you put them in different colors and you pasted them together and maybe drew on them? Well, strengths are kind of like that. A constellation of strengths is when you find yourself using several strengths at one time. Like you might be curious about something. Somebody hurt you, okay? So you're curious. Why did this person hurt me? And then you start looking at it and you realize, you know what, maybe it's not about me. Maybe it's about them. Maybe I need to use my forgiveness. Maybe I need to be grateful that I'm able to forgive them. Then all of a sudden you've got three strengths that you've used in a constellation together to help you flourish, to help you feel better about your life. So it's when you piggyback one strength with another strength, and there's no right or wrong. And better yet, you can make up your own strengths. You know, you can have a serendipity strength. I have one. I love serendipity. I look for it. I watch it when like that symbol of the star and the swirly on my dragon. That to me was serendipitous. You know, that to me was a spiritual thing. So you can think of the pyramids. Your 24 strengths are the bottom of the pyramid. And then at the tippy top are the strengths that you use the most, like your top 5 strengths. But they all help you. All 24 are the foundation that help you live your best self life. And we know that igniting your strengths helps you power up your best self life always. So the more you're aware of your strengths and you're writing, it will change how you write. When you write with positivity, when you look for the good, when you look and really power up. Some people think it's just creativity. Writing takes a whole lot more than that. It takes perspective. It takes leadership. I'm just looking at my strengths here. You have to be honest with yourself. You have to have social intelligence to understand other people. God knows you have to have humor. Oh, my God, I'd have killed myself years ago if I didn't have a sense of humor. I would have. It's like, oh, man, life is hard. I don't care what anybody says. I love life. I'm one of the happiest people I know, but I don't think life is easy because I take it seriously. So maybe you need to be brave. Maybe you need to sit down at your computer or at your recorder and say, you know, even though I don't know what I'm going to say, I'm just going to start, you know, every word with an A, every word with a B for a while and see what comes up and laugh about it.
I like those. I like those a lot. What inspired you to write your first book?
Well, I think the inspiration came from me waiting so long to go to Cuba, and that after I went to Cuba, and I took about 860 photos in a week, and I sat down with all those photos, and I thought, am I going to just send these to Mom and say, here, Mom, you've waited all these years to see them, or am I going to do something better? So the inspiration was after I started just blogging, thinking I would send her the blogs, and getting support from other people. Others inspired me. Other people did, and that you can do a book, Judy. You should do it. You can do it. Why not do it? And so it didn't come from me. It came from other people.
Excellent. Is there a message in your novel in your book that you would like the readers to grasp?
I think the message is every single person can unlock your power of positivity if you use your strengths. And the message is it can be fun. There's no work. Most of us work. You know, I always tell people work and play are both four-letter words. But which one sounds better to you? And so just love, admire the world, know that your time is precious. And I think the message is just like the coaching message. You are creative, resourceful, and whole. You are way more than good enough, and you have a message. And if you would like other people to get your message and help them empower themselves and inspire themselves to live the life of their dreams, write a great book, even if it's great in your mind.
All right. So tell us, what is the hardest part of writing your book?
The hardest part is when you do it backwards like I did, with no outline or anything else. Don't ever do that. Don't be me. Don't do it like I did it. Get organized first and make it a mission to write your book. The hardest part was I made the mistake initially of picking the wrong publisher. That was the hardest part. And because the publisher's lack of cooperation it caused the book to be delayed by many, many months. So the hardest part was knowing now, looking back in hindsight, I did not know that they had places like Vicki Winterton in your group is now developing, you know, right away, right now. If only I had known there would be, you know, things like this, that LinkedIn had places you could look at, Facebook did, that there are bloggers, a zillion of them, for writers. But because I had never planned to write a book to begin with, I didn't do my due diligence. So the hardest thing was my lack of due diligence. I created that for myself, and you guys don't have to do that. You can join Vicki's community of writers. It's a new writers community right now, and oh my gosh, none of this would have ever happened had I had that last year.
That's wonderful. So, I mean, I'm glad you told us about the issues that you had to face. Because
yes,
that's important to a lot of people. Because, I mean, a lot of people can be out there looking for a publisher. So I'm glad you mentioned that there can be issues in that department.
And you know, there's one more thing, Stacey. There's so much more than just writing the book. You know, writing the book is one thing. The writing wasn't anywhere near as hard as the marketing, and you know, writing sales letters, things that I had never done before. The publicity part of it, changing your website, adding a web page for the book. So get help. You know, not all coaches cost an arm and a leg. Get a book coach, like that's what I ended up doing to help me write the sales letters and so forth. Get an editor to edit your book, a really good editor. Don't just get a friend to do it. Get somebody that's a professional. If you want to have a real quality book, okay, unless you've been doing this for years, you really need to get professionals on your team.
Well, the way I look at it is, why suffer through what isn't your strength? You were talking about strength earlier.
Right.
Why suffer through doing these things that are brand new to you when you can hire and find the people that know what they're doing to get it done for you? Because to me, it's totally worth it to pay somebody to help me do the parts I don't want to do anyway.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I wrote everything. I ended up writing everything, but I would, including all the sales, all the whatever. But if I had it to do over, I would pay somebody to do it. I had a great book coach, and she helped me immensely. But it isn't worth you getting alopecia and pulling all your hair out like I did on numerous occasions. So expect snafus. Don't expect it to be perfect. If a comma is out of place, screw it. You know, the world is not a perfect place. Do the best you can. Success and not perfectionism.
And I think it's great that you're sitting here saying, I hired a coach, a book coach.
And don't, if you know, I hired the book coach to help me with writing sales letters, sales copy, after the total book was finished. So the book was already done, and I was trying to do it myself and just wasn't good at writing sales copy. So that's when I found her. And so she helped me do that. If I were writing another book, if I ever do, I would get a coach from the very beginning, because when my coach looked at the PDF, she said, you know, wow, you did this by yourself. And I said, yeah. She said, wow. And she said the only changes I made, and they were little changes, little teeny changes, like putting 1, 2, 3, 4 in the chapters. I mean, nothing major. But I would have done that if the book were not already finished, you know. But it just, you learn. We use our strengths to accommodate and to serve our values. You know, you use your strengths, whatever they are, to accommodate and serve your values. And you know, each one of us can only do so much. So, you know, I think to power up positivity, we're not, no man is an island, John Dunn said. You know, we all need help.
Mm-hmm.
What's wrong with getting it? That's what coaches do. Coaches help people to maximize everything in their life. That's our purpose. Find out what's right and good about you and help you get more of it.
That's some great advice. Dr. Judy, I really appreciate you being on the show. Thank you so much for all your time tonight.
Oh, my pleasure. Anytime at all, and you're delightful as usual, Stacey. Thank you.
Oh, so are you. Thank you.
And thank you for joining us on Right Now. I'm Stacey Chavo. Have an excellent week.